Okay, today is August the 27th, 2013. Can't believe this month is nearly gone already. Well, this is a special night at Country Bible Church because this is the first time we've been live streaming. Dr. Jim Breitel was gracious enough to show me how to download some kind of encoder I can't even pronounce. And so we are streaming the audio tonight. We tested the video and it works, but we just have a little hotspot, so it's not powerful enough. But we're going to get a broadband so that we can do the video and the audio, and it should be out real soon. I mean, maybe by next week anyway. And so we need to get the word out to the folks that don't know that they have that option now. It also means we have to be on our best behavior. And when y'all come up after church and y'all start talking to me, you have to remind me to hit the stop button or else the whole world will know what you're telling me. So we just thank the Lord for His graciousness enabling us to do this, and when we get the video, that's going to be a plus to some folks, I believe. Okay, let's prepare ourselves this evening in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time, we have the option to name any unconfessed sins to God, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your Word and for the opportunity to be here, to focus and drink it in full measure. We indeed need to think with divine viewpoint. But to be able to do that, we have to have knowledge. So we thank You for the time that we have, that we can acquire more knowledge so that we can be good and faithful servants, even in the devil's world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I thought I'd start out with a little levity this evening because we're going to have to do some heavy-duty concentrating in a little bit. A friend of mine from Clute, Texas, sent me this email today. And he says, an elderly man was stopped by the police around 2 a.m. and was asked where he was going at that time of night. The man replied, I'm on my way to a lecture about alcohol abuse and the effects it has on the human body, as well as smoking and staying out late. And the officer then asked, really? Who's giving that lecture at this time of night? And the man replied, that would be my wife. I don't think the officer could keep a straight face on that one. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to continue in verse 10. And I'm trying to break down these sentences in parts that we can digest. Because you'll remember the first sentence was 175 words long. And now we're in the second sentence that's, oh, well, it's shorter. It's just 120 words long. So I don't know about you. Sometimes I can only digest a couple of words or maybe one word at a time. And so that's what we're doing. And we find ourselves tonight in verse 11. I think I'll start in verse 9, though, and at least read up until where we are now. I might add this. One reason that we take it a sentence at a time is because a sentence is a basic unit of thought. And I go to the Greek to find out where the sentence ends because you can't tell by the English, because some English versions may break this into two sentences, or maybe three, some even four. And But you can tell in the Greek where the sentence ends, and so that's where I go to, because we're trying to put this all together and get this one thought of Paul to where we can understand it as he gave it. But since we're normal humans, well, I don't know whether we're normal, but we are human, we have to take it a bite at a time. So starting with verse 9, we'll read up to verse 11 anyway. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And what was that word for knowledge, y'all remember? Epignosis knowledge, full knowledge, knowledge that has been believed and has been transferred over into your long-term memory. Now, verse 11, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And now we come to the end of that sentence. Now, for someone that says, I got it, I heard it the first time, I know what it says, I wouldn't want to be a doubting Thomas, but it's hard for us to get, even though we're taking a bite at a time. So, if you'll look up on the board, we have Colossians 1, verse 11 and 12. And what you see in red is what we already went over last time. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Now you'll remember there are three words there that have to do with might. Strengthened and power and might. And here you see the different Greek words for that, which we also covered last time. And we're going to go down to a couple of verses that we saw that expand this meaning, helps us to understand it better. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31, He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, He increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Now, I think this is a powerful verse to anyone who would hear it. But to this over-the-hill gang that I'm looking at, and I'm including myself, this should be particularly powerful for you. Because as much as we would like to deny it, and as much as we would like to avoid it, we don't have the same stride when we walk as we did when we were 20. We don't have the same strength. We don't have the same power that we had when we were younger. And we grow weary and we get tired easy. But that's in the physical realm. Isn't it glad to know that in the spiritual realm, we can, as this writer says, gain new strength and mount up with wings like eagles and run and not get tired? Now, in our verse, if you look at verse 11, well, I think it starts in verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And the walking there is referring to just our manner of life. But now, we have in Isaiah 40, we're running and not getting tired. Now, I wouldn't suggest that you try out for the Olympics because of this verse, because it's not talking about the physical. It's talking about something more important, and that is the spiritual. We don't have to get tired in the spiritual realm because we grow strength from God's power. We can't generate it ourselves. It comes from God. Then here's another verse that we went over, Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he, Abraham, did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that being fully assured, that's where the power comes in. That's the confidence. And our confidence does not depend on ourselves in any way. Our confidence is in the Lord. And there lies the strength. And we're tempted from time to time to rely on our own human effort and our own paltry power, aren't we? It's just our nature. That's what we like to do. So we need verses to bring us back to reality like this. And here's the last verse we went over last time, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. And that's where the ball game is, isn't it? On the inner man. I heard on the news report, I don't remember how long ago, not that long ago, how many, not millions, but billions of dollars that Americans spend on the outward man. And that would be health products, that would be, for you ladies, makeup and all the tools of the trade that y'all use to look so pretty, and we're so glad that you use them. Not that you need them, but I always get in trouble when I get in this area. Not that you need them. Y'all are pretty anyway. Yeah, when you're in a hole, quit digging. That's what, all right. My whole point here was the inner man, or the inner woman, if you will. That's where the ball game is. It's all up here. And that's what we have to have strengthened and have that confidence. Aren't you just so grateful that you have confidence from the amount of doctrine that you've already attained? I mean, because it doesn't change. Wouldn't it be horrible if you put in all the myriad of hours, if they were added up, it would maybe be even years of time in accumulating doctrine. But if God was not immutable, if he changed, then it would all be for naught, wouldn't it? And there are some cults, there are some religions that can't ever have any confidence because they're always changing what they believe, because when someone catches them in something that is contradictory, something that is wrong, then they have to change it and they have to revamp their whole thing. But the Word of God lives and abides forever, and it does not change. So we can have that power, we can have that confidence. Okay, now we're plowing new ground tonight, starting with any believer who is not filled or in the sphere of the Holy Spirit is not operating on God's power. And his inner man is weak because it is being influenced by his old sin nature. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to be remember that all the time. Because in the course of a day, several times a believer can forget about God's power, and we get so wrapped up in the details and the sense of responsibility and that load, that hard pressure starts to hit us. And instead of relaxing and thinking about what God would have us do, faith rests, remember his promises, unconditional love, impersonal love, that type of thing, just seems to go out the window because we're so focused on the problem and we're so much under pressure that divine thinking seems to take a back seat. But it's not long before it tells on us, doesn't it? Your blood pressure goes up. You start getting stress in your soul. And people don't like to be around you so much then, because you're snappy. The pressure, you're feeding the pressure. That's a sign that you're operating on your power, and your power won't cut it. God's power always cuts it. It always will let you go a sigh. Have you ever done that? Have you ever remembered doctrine? Have you ever remembered, oh yeah, what am I doing? I'm trying to carry this load myself. And then in your mind, in your own soul, you start thinking, I'm giving this problem to God. The battle is the Lord's, it's not mine, so why am I all in a dither? And then, of course, we can acknowledge our sin, our worry, our fretting, sometimes outward being afraid. And then we're operating on His power. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and what? In the strength of His might. His might. I don't know how Christians that don't understand how to access God's power can make it. Do you? If you don't know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you can't get into the sphere of power of the Holy Spirit, then you're not operating on God's power. And how many Christians don't even know how to do that? The strength we see in Christians is not God's power working in their lives. The strength of God's power in Christians is God's power working in their lives. Did I say isn't? Okay. Well, it just shows the grace of God that it doesn't strike me right now. Now, but the question is, do you operate on His power? Of course, I'm not asking for an answer, but I am posing it to you so we can reflect. This very day, did you operate 100% of the time on God's power? I don't know. 90%? 10%? We have to realize that when we have a bad day, whose power have we been operating on? Because for the Christian who is operating on God's power and is using divine viewpoint, there should be no bad day, should there? Oh, circumstance-wise, surely. But God has given us the wonderful ability to rise above our circumstances. Our happiness, our contentment, and our joy does not depend on our circumstances, or at least they should not. We are ambassadors for the Most High. And that means we should be different than unbelievers. And that's how unbelievers live. They live by each day. The husband gets home and the wife says, well, how was your day? Oh, it was crummy. I had a bad day. Now, what is she expecting to hear? Circumstances. What was it? And we have to be careful. If you have a bad day of circumstances, we don't want to be phony. We don't want to come home after a withering day of very unpleasant circumstances and say, count it all joy. Now, you can do that if it's true. But don't try to fake anybody out. You can't fake God out. Now, we're going to the next phrase in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. We just went over... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What we did, this is going to be confusing to some. Remember when, what was it, two messages ago, my computer didn't get all of what we had? And so we have already covered the next phrase in verse 11, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. Remember, we've already gone over that? So we're going to just keep scrolling here. Now, we're continuing with where we left off, what was it, last week sometime. I need to go ahead and read this, though. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, we've covered that, for the attaining of all steadfastness, and we've covered the steadfastness and patience. That's where we're going to begin tonight. And why are y'all grinning at me? Oh, the people that are, I forget, we're live streaming, they they don't know me well enough, probably, to know that when God was giving out patience, I not only was I not in line, I couldn't even find the line. So, but here I am. It's my duty to teach what the Word says about patience. Now, there are some translations that call it long-suffering. I'm in the New American Standard Version, and it calls it patience. But I like the word long-suffering here. I think it's more describes what it means. So we're going to go down here to patience. Now, the Greek word for patience is makrothumia. M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. Makrothumia. And it is a noun, an aorist, accusative singular feminine. It's a compound word. The first part is macro, which means long, and thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, which means wrath or temper. It is a state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. It means to be long-tempered, or we would say to be able to hold one's temper for a long time. That's what macrothumia means. To be able to hold your temper for a long time. You know, if we had a time machine and you could go back when I was a boy and recognize that I had a reputation for a short fuse, that I could lose my temper, and I did it often when I was younger. And of course, I blame it all on my sister because she was the master at making me lose my temper. She knew all my hot buttons. Not Fabian. Fabian, I'll clear you in that. And she would get me to the boiling point, to where I was just beside myself. And then she would get right up in my face. And she would say, "Temper, temper, temper." That was it. And she knew it. So I do have experience in knowing about temper. Not necessarily how to control it, but I have the other side of the coin. I could write volumes on that. There's a difference between steadfastness and endurance, or endurance, and long-suffering, which we're calling patience here. Steadfastness relates to adverse circumstances. Long-suffering relates to primarily difficult people. So the words have a different nuance. Endurance relates to adverse circumstances. We are to endure. God gives us the power to stay under pressure without it building stress in our soul. We can retain an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude, even in the long haul, and have that endurance. And that's called steadfastness in our verse. But the long suffering relates to people. That's the people test. And we all need the people test, because there's a lot of people on this earth, and usually every day you're going to come in contact with some of them. And you have to know what to do. Patience, or long suffering, is a virtue in the face of provocation from people. Our natural instinct is to retaliate by word, act, or attitude, isn't it? We have a phrase today that's popular, and people usually don't ask, is something bothering you? Because you seem to be a bit upset. Today, people might ask, what's the matter? Where did you get the attitude? And it's true that that's the problem, is our attitude. And we allow people, difficult people, sometimes not so difficult people, to get into our soul and make us want to have revenge. And the uncanny thing is sometimes we want to get revenge, and it doesn't even have to be the person who is the perpetrator that committed either their sin or offended you or whatever. Just the closest person will do. That's why they say you have an attitude. Because you want revenge. And sometimes the person that they want to unload on isn't there. So you're close by, you'll do. That's the people test. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 5. This is the whole thing is about love here. And look how in verse 4 it starts out. Love is what? Patient. Do you know if you're going to have a friend and keep that friend, do you know you're going to have to be patient? You're going to have long suffering if you want a long relationship with a friend. Isn't that true? Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. How easy are people provoked today? All someone has to do is have an opinion different than yours, and people are provoked because of that. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Y'all need to underline that. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Any two people that have a relationship, sooner or later, and most of the time it's sooner, is either going to take account of a wrong suffered, or they're going to have a forgiving spirit. They're going to have toleration. So, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5, does not take into account a wrong suffered. These verses should be familiar with you. If you've gone to any weddings, you've probably heard this. Because most weddings go to Romans 13, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 13, and they read the love chapter, at least the first part of it. And everybody thinks, oh, isn't that wonderful, this relationship between the husband and bride? What they don't understand, this was written to every believer. This isn't just for newlyweds. This just isn't for marriage. This isn't just for husbands and wives. It's for every believer. It's just that it's so foreign to us, we think, well, this must be just for newlyweds. This is for all of us. Did y'all underline it? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and what? Patience. There's that long suffering again. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. He isn't talking to unbelievers. He is talking to the body of Christ. He is talking to believers. We might even call them church members. Don't church members automatically act like this? Can't hardly say it without laughing. We should. Long-suffering means to be slow to anger and relates to mercy, but a lack of long-suffering leads to retaliation and revenge. So we're talking about temper, right? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. What does it mean, rules his spirit? Doesn't that mean to keep his temper? That he is long-suffering? The problem is today, nobody wants to take any guff off of anybody. And those who don't are praised. You see it at the grocery store all the time, can't you? A man is as big as the patience he exhibits when people annoy him. That's worth writing down, by the way. A man is as big as the patience he exhibits when people annoy him. Are y'all ready for a poem? This poem is called The Echo. I shouted aloud and louder while out on the plain one day. The sound grew faint and fainter until it had died away. My words had gone forever. They left no trace or track. But the hills nearby caught up the cry and sent an echo back. I spoke a word in anger to one who was my friend. Like a knife, it cut him deeply, a wound that was hard to mend. That word so thoughtlessly uttered, I would we could both forget. But its echo lives and memory gives the recollection of it yet. How many hearts are broken, how many friends are lost by some unkind word spoken before we count the cost. But a word or deed of kindness will repay a hundredfold, for it echoes again in the hearts of men and carries a joy untold. And that was by C.A. Loughborough. If we would only count the cost. Y'all remember what James says, the book of James. If you can control that little thing that flaps around in your mouth, if you can control that, then you are rare indeed. How many would agree that that little flapper gets us into more trouble than everything else combined? Because we can't control our spirit. We can't control our temper. A good thing to remember is that you can't save face if you lose your head. We all want to save face, but you can't do it if you lose your head. Remember, the end never justifies the meanness. Okay, we're still in Colossians chapter 1, and now we're going to verse 12. And you see the pattern now? What you see in red in this verse is the part of that verse that we deal with next. The devil wants us to rob us of our joy. God wants us to have joy in our soul, even under trying circumstances and with difficult people. Is that possible? Is it possible for you? I don't know. Y'all looking like you're trying to figure that one out. I didn't say, is it a reality in you? I said, is it possible for you? Yes, well, okay. That wasn't with gusto, but you got the right answer. It is impossible to thank the Father too much. There's some things you can't do too much. You can't thank the Father too much, and you husbands, you can't tell your wives you love them too much. I know you think you can, but you can't. And I see the elbows out there. Don't think I don't see them. Well, you know, guys are just, they think, well, I told her she should know it, so let's press on. If I tell her too much, it won't mean as much. That's the way guys think. Ladies, is that true? But some of us guys are learning. Aren't we, guys? A little bit, okay. The Bible commands us to give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. This phrase is used 24 times in the New American Standard Version in verses like this one below. This is 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His what? Loving kindness is everlasting. 24 verses that use that exact phrase. And it's a command. Did you thank the Lord today for something? I don't want to know. I'm just saying, did you? I think it would be a good habit for all of us to acquire is when we first wake up is to thank the Lord for this day. Because it's a gift. I mean, it doesn't mean that history has to end this day, but maybe your history could. He's given you more time to grow in grace and knowledge. And I think we should thank Him for that. I mean, there's so many things. What is that song, Count Your Blessings One by One? And you'll be amazed what the Lord has done. But we're too busy. We don't have time for that. Most of us. But you know, when you slow down, and you start taking stock of what God does for us every single day, how can you not have tremendous gratitude? And you know, this ability or this attribute, this character of having the capacity to appreciate goes hand in hand with a believer as they grow spiritually. You show me someone that doesn't have the capacity to appreciate, that has no gratitude, and I'll show you someone that is having difficulty in their spiritual life. Because if you are on target spiritually, you're going to have great gratitude. And I know children have to be taught. And unfortunately, there's a lot of children today that haven't been taught. And sometimes you may be like me, that when I extend myself, I do something for some young person, and they just, oh, okay, and they just walk away, and I'm thinking, wait, what's missing? What did you do? I didn't hear the words. And you can even get kind of, not necessarily angry, but put out with this child. But it's not the child's fault. He was never taught. It's the parents' fault. And I love it when I see a parent correct their child. And I still see that from time to time. Maybe you do too. Some might be a stranger, might be a family member, says, here, Johnny, here's some whatever. You give him a piece of candy, or it could be a dirt plow. It doesn't matter what you give him. You gave him something. And they take it, and they don't say anything, and the mother says, what do you say? Do y'all remember hearing that before? I mean, you probably heard it when it was directed to you. Hopefully. And that was the standard thing. This is when manners were actually used. Young people knew how to behave, especially with young people. I mean, with older people. You know, when I was a boy, I had a number of friends. And I knew their mother's name and their father's name. Every one of them. I never did. There never was a time when I didn't know their name. And I'm not good with names. But I had a real good friend. His name was Paul Sauskiver. And I knew both his mother's name and his father's name because it was Mr. Sauskiver and Miss Sauskiver. It made it easy. Oh, you would call an adult by their first name? That was not done. It really did make it easier, though. It was a sign of respect. Yes, sir. No, sir. And the fact that that has disappeared from the vocabulary of most young people today is just a shame. Because what it does when you address someone by a title, Mr. or Mrs., or by officer, or by pastor, or by senator, or whoever it may be, it's a sign of respect. And when you can just address an adult, when you're a child, the same way that you address other children, then that helps foster the idea that you can behave and talk to an adult the same way that you do to your friends. And what happens to respect? They don't learn it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Now we're concentrating on gratitude, being thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving. Y'all are in Colossians 1 now already, right? Just flip a few pages. Let's get over here to verse 16. I want you to underline singing with thanksgiving. Remember when we had the worship special a month or two ago, and I was focusing on the importance of singing hymns, singing with thankfulness. You know, we sing before every Bible class. And I think for some, they look forward to that. And I'm plunking on this guitar, and y'all put up with when I miss chords, and half the time I can't see them, there's glares, and I could come up with 50 more excuses if you'd like. But none of that matters. We are expressing to our God how we adore Him, we love Him, we honor Him through song. And we should sing it with gusto. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What do we have again? Giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So we have be thankful, singing with thankfulness, and giving thanks, just in those couple of verses. And this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to giving thanks and having capacity to appreciate. 1 Thessalonians verse 5, verse 18. And here's the killer for you right here. This one will get you. If none of the other ones did, this one should. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In nearly everything. Could we go along with that? Could I get an amen on nearly everything? No. In everything, give thanks. Now, this is for the more mature believers. This is not a verse for baby believers or even adolescent believers. This is for believers who have connected the dots. They have a divine viewpoint based on systematic theology, and they've learned how to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. They know about how to deal with people. They know that they are required by God to love them the way that He loves us. They know about faith rest. They know about Operation Z. They know about the doctrine of kenosis. They know about the election and foreordination. They know how to put that in the right perspective. They have a vast amount of doctrine, so that in everything they can give thanks. Now, you know the question I'm about to ask you, don't you? Don't you know? Because I'm going to ask you. And the good part, you don't have to answer. I don't want you to answer it. But I want you to think in your own mind. When was the last time that you gave thanks for something that you normally would want to curse? I don't know what it was. Do you have to think that far back? Or maybe I should be asking, have any of you ever given thanks when you pull something out of the refrigerator and the milk and the honey and all falls a big glob on the floor? I had some people coming over from Dallas one time. And we got the house all fixed up and everything was great. And the lady said, you know, y'all got that big clawfoot bathtub. Would it be all right if I took a bath up there? Well, sure, have a bath. And it was, I don't know, probably October, November, something like that. It was pretty cool outside. And so she goes in and she's trying to run the bath and she comes, puts a towel around her. She comes down and she said, do y'all have any hot water? I said, sure, we got hot water. There was no hot water. And I'm just, why now? This lady wants to take... She is our guest. We want her to be comfortable. We want her to have a nice hot bath. And you know what? Water heaters last for what? 15 years? 20 years? Why does it have to happen right now? I can assure you, I did not give thanks at that point. And I know that's a charge of the mosquito, right? But that's all it takes sometimes, isn't it? Why don't we all try to aspire to giving thanks for the next time something really gets at us? Can you do it? Can you do it? Yes, yes, sir. I can even do it. But we have to be thinking divine viewpoint, don't we? Because it's so easy to be just... Listen, the easiest thing in the world is to major on something when it really gets under your skin. And to just... Oh! You know what I'm talking about. But it's hard on your body. It's hard on other people around you. I don't know what just popped in my head. When Carrie and I were building our log home, there were times when I did not give thanks for everything. And there was one time we were up on the second floor, and I was particularly not giving thanks that day. I was having a bad day, and it was all because of circumstances, by the way. And she had a camera, and she said, she called my name, and I turned around, and she took my picture. Right close when I was in the middle of a rage. And when that, you know, we didn't have digital cameras then. You had to get them developed and all. When we came back, she's looking at me. She was laughing. I said, what's the matter? I was so angry, I was black. My face was black. I mean, you heard of being in darkness? It's still in some album somewhere. I'm sure now that I have said something about it, one of you will want to see it. But we don't have to be like that, do we? We are not prisoners to our circumstances. And we should be thankful for that. We are happy and joyously, we are to be happy and joyously give thanks to God for His blessings which come to us through His grace. And I think I have time to give you these. The words that are in bold have the same root in the Greek. This is what I'm going to show you. You see up there, we have happy, joyously, and thanks and grace. all those have the same root in the Greek. For instance, joy or joyously in the Greek is chara, C-H-A-R-A. Give thanks is eucharisteo. You hear the charis in there? By the way, have you ever heard of the Eucharist? Next Sunday, we are going to observe the Eucharist. It comes from this word, eucharisteo, and it means to give thanks. And that's what we do when we take communion or observe the Lord's Supper. In our soul, our attitude should be one of great gratitude. And then we have grace, which is charis. That's C-H-A-R-I-S in the Greek. So you see, I have them lined up here where you can see the common denominator, the root, in these words. And I threw in one more that's not, it sounds the same, even though it isn't the same root. Happy is makarios. It still has that kara sound to it in the root, I mean in the word, but it has a kappa instead of a ki. See, when you have that ki, that looks like the X up here in the Greek. That's the ki, which is the k sound. And when you pronounce it, it's chi, like this. As opposed to the kappa, which is k sound. So you have makarios. Now, this word happy is found, this word is used 50 times in the New Testament. In the New American Standard Version, happy. 47 times is translated blessed. So when you see blessed is the man, it could be translated happy. But it's only translated happy in the New American Standard Version one time in Romans. Happy is the man. Now why they translated it 47 times as blessed and one time as happy, I'm not sure. And I can remember when I was at Baraka Church, the colonel many times would say, happy is the man, and we were reading blessed. But he was seeing makarios. So I thought that was interesting. You have all these words, happy, joyously, thanks and grace, all having the same root word because they're all very similar in the Greek. Note that thanksgiving is directed to the Father. The Son and the Spirit are mediators. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And I know every one of you already know this, or I assume that you know it, but sometimes I've heard even pastors pray to Jesus Christ. I've heard Pentecostals say, pray, oh Holy Ghost. And I've heard them give thanks to the Holy Ghost and so forth. Well, we are to follow the proper protocol. And all prayer is directed towards God the Father, in the Spirit, in the spheres of Spirit, and in Christ's name. When we say in Jesus' name, what we're saying is we're going through the right chain of command. We're using the right protocol because He is our High Priest. And how often do you hear prayers uttered that don't follow that protocol? But you know what's surprising? Here in Washington County, at the fairgrounds, when we have our county fair, which is in September and next month, if you go to the rodeo there and they begin with a prayer, every time that I've been to that rodeo so far, and they have a big PA system there, whoever is praying will pray a prayer to God the Father, and at the end of the prayer, they say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how many county fairs do that anymore. But I'm proud that they do in Washington County, aren't you? So go to the fair and let's see if he's going to make me out a liar this time. Okay, I think we're going to draw a line in the sand there for tonight. And I thank Dr. Jim for giving me giving Country Bible Church a way to live stream this out to folks. Now, the word hasn't gotten out yet, but it will be. And soon we'll have the video as well. But I have a warning to you, to y'all. Doesn't mean that face-to-face is no longer important, and I come to Bible class, I'm here by myself. But I know, I think more highly of you than that. But I just thought I would throw it out just as a little nugget. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your mighty word and for the power that you have made available to us, that we can be steadfast and endure, and we can have that patience that we cannot come up with ourselves, but you are able to produce it through us. So we thank you for these things and pray that you will help us to meditate on them, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.